And thanks for joining me this evening. I am Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. I am joined here in the studio by one of the great professors of violin found here at the University of Missouri School of Music, Julie Rosenfeld. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me, Aaron.
Absolutely. So we are here to discuss the continuing project of the collaborative Beethoven Works for Piano and
Various also instruments.
Various other instruments, but in this time in particular, the violin. And
right.
This is a performance, a continuing of Peter Miyamoto's Beethoven or Bust series, all leading
right.
up to the 250th birthday of Beethoven coming up in 2020.
December 16th, 2020. Mark your calendars.
but seriously, it's going to be it's a huge anniversary, and a lot of people are doing big things for it, and Peter and the staff here at the faculty here at the University of Missouri are a big part of that here, just in the Columbia area. So we're going to talk about some performances that are coming up. One, right around the corner.
Right.
So when is this next performance?
All right. So on Sunday, September 22nd at 3 p.m. in Whitmore Recital Hall. Peter and I will perform three of the 10 violin sonatas, one early one, Opus 12, number 3, and then two of the middle sonatas, this number 7 and 8, Opus 30, number 2 and 3. And if anybody remembers last February, he and I performed sonatas number 1, 6, and 10. So now we're doing 3, 8, and 7. So we have four left, and we will continue onward with that. But we're trying to, you know, spread them out and make good programs, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know, the keys that they are in and the lengths and all that. And so we have two kind of lighter sonatas, one in E flat from an early period, then a middle period in G major, you know, kind of very, you know, user friendly. And then we have the big piece on the program, which is the sonata number 7 in C minor, which is C minor being Beethoven's dramatic key,
yeah.
is the one that's the really big one. It's four movements
long.
It's a bigger piece. It's got louder notes, just more sonority, more everything. So this is Beethoven, you know, figuring out how to make a kind of symphonic sound with just the piano and the violin.
Yeah.
And this is before any of the middle quartets, before any of the big symphonies. So he's really still experimenting with
yeah.
how to expand the sound of the violin and the piano to make that kind of symphonic type sound.
Yeah, and the sonatas, they're not far removed from each other. The one, the three is from like 1798.
Right.
And then the 7 and the 8
they're
are from
only
like
about
1803,
they're only
five
about
years
5 years apart. But in between those things is when Beethoven really starts to grapple with the fact that he's going deaf.
Yeah.
And he writes this famous letter called the Heiligenstadt Testament, Heiligenstadt being the town where he wrote it, just outside of Vienna. Mm-hmm. And he basically says, look, I could tell that I'm going to be going deaf. I'm having trouble hearing right now. So the question is, do I kill myself? Because here I am a composer. I'm supposed to have better hearing than anybody else. And I can't hear anything hardly anymore. So do I kill myself or do I rededicate myself to my art? And in the fact that I will be very isolated from humanity, do I continue to make great art and hope that I will continue to heal the world through my art? And of course, he decides that he, it's amazing if he had killed himself in 1802, how little music we would really have
right.
of Beethoven. All the great hits would not have been obviously composed yet. And so the idea that he might have actually killed himself in 1802 is, you know, kind of a what if type of question, alternative history type
right,
question.
Right.
Somebody should write a book.
Surely somebody has.
I mean, they did it. They did a movie without the Beatles. So, you know, what can you say?
Right. Great stuff. Well, so what makes these pieces stand out? Obviously, you're trying to fill in all the work so that you can get everything done. But what makes this particular set kind of a standout piece for this show?
Well, I think for certainly the standout piece is the sonata number 7. That's kind of the star of the show. But even the Opus 12 number 3, that one is full of virtuoso piano writing, and he tries to have the violin kind of keep up with it. And then the number 8 sonata also, I think Beethoven is really trying to find his voice at this point. He's on the cusp between the classical and the romantic style that he will define, essentially. And I think you see this journey through these three sonatas, going from a very Haydnesque or Mozartian sensibility to this much more heroic, Beethovenian style that he will be known for.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's great. And then, so we've also got a couple of more shows then coming up
to finish out those
collaborative works.
Right. So on October 6th, which is also a Sunday at 3, I will play one more sonata, the sonata number 4 in A minor. Dr. Eli Lara, our cello professor, will play the first Beethoven cello sonata in F, opus 5, number 1, and the last Beethoven cello sonata, opus 102, number 2. And our new horn professor, Amanda Collins, will also perform the horn sonata, which is opus 17 of quite a fairly early work, again, by Beethoven. Mm-hmm. The fourth sonata is opus 23. Again, it's kind of on the cusp of the bigger works.
Yeah.
And the two cello sonatas are a very early one. As a matter of fact, it's probably the first cello sonata ever written in history that really takes advantage of this combination. And there are really no precedents for that. Haydn and Mozart did not write cello sonatas. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a big deal for Beethoven to have done it. And then the opus 102 sonata is really on the verge of the late style.
Yeah.
And so that is an enormous difference in what Dr. Laurel will be playing in those two sonatas.
That'll be a fascinating look at
how his cello writing, changed, as well as, of course, the piano writing. Uh-huh. And then the final concert in the series will be on Sunday, November 17th, where we'll finish out with three more violin sonatas. Number 2, number 5, which is known as the Spring Sonata, and number 9, which is known as the Kreutzer Sonata. So we kind of left the two
most
well-known ones for the last concert, which will be November before, the fall break, before the Thanksgiving break, and kind of bring it to a culmination with this great sonata number 9, called the Kreutzer Sonata, although it wasn't written for Kreutzer, it was written for Rode, as a matter of fact. It was written for George Bridgetower, who was a black violinist. And it really is a concertant type of playing, much more like a concerto would be, rather than a sonata. Very virtuosic playing. Some of you may recall that it was actually performed this past March by Laura St. John and Peter Miyamoto on the recital series around the Plowman competition. But we'll do it better. Sorry, Laura.
Well, I can't wait to see all these shows, and thanks so much for coming by and for telling us about them, and thanks for putting them on and bringing this music out into the forefront. And
well, I mean, everybody knows certain pieces by Beethoven,
right?
But to hear kind of the whole gestation of his type of thing in one genre is really, it's amazing to actually hear what happens over the course of his lifetime. Like if you play like the 16 quartets or like the 9 symphonies, it's a similar journey. And I'm really so thrilled that we were able to bring it to Columbia audiences.
Wonderful. Well, again, thanks so much for coming by. The next one is coming up on Sunday, September 22nd. That's this upcoming Sunday at 3 p.m. And this is at the beautiful Whitmore Recital Hall right here on the MU campus.
Hope to see everyone there.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.